There was one great line, at least one great line in what was shared in that little clip that was worth the price of admission. And that was that saying, it said, unforgiveness is the poison that we drink hoping that someone else will die. Did you hear that? Unforgiveness, isn't that true? Unforgiveness is the poison that we drink hoping that someone else will die. We think we're punishing someone else when we're acting so like, I'm not going to forgive you. And I know we think we're, but it's poison to us. It kills. I love that. It was worth coming for you right for that one line. Love it. Love it. And we're going to get stuff like that. And we're going to get very practical tools and good challenge in the teaching time of these series. We're going to do some stuff on Sunday mornings. That's going to be different from the DVD. The DVDs are you're only going to see in small groups. It's the only time you'll ever see the DVD stuff. And we're going, and I'll talk more about this as we go, but Sunday mornings will relate to this. We're going to look at scripture about what God talks about, conflict resolution, dealing with each other. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. Now, many of you, after watching that short clip, realize that you could probably use some tools on healthier relationships. I don't think there's a person here that, at least if you don't need new tools, you at least need to sharpen the tools that you have, right? How many of you have family or friends and neighbors that maybe need to hear some of this stuff as well? That list is really easy to think of. Oh, I'd love to have this person come hear that, and that person, you know, all these people that we're in conflict with, right, that we would love to hear, come here. Well, that's okay. That's a good motive to have someone come and listen to this stuff. But this study, like Tim Pollard said, is good for all sorts of people, all kinds, not just churchy people, not just, you know, the religious types. The marginal church attenders, the first group of people I think of who would enjoy this study that maybe would help them connect more. I'm talking about the person that comes, don't feel offended if this is you, but the person that comes like once a month or once every couple of months, you know, once in a while we see them around. But maybe if they connected into one of these groups, got connected with some people, and really dealt with some of this stuff together, maybe there would be that connection that they've never experienced before. That marginal church attender, I'm really interested in trying to reach out to them and have them experience this and enjoy being in a group and getting connected again. This study is also really good for the unbeliever. You heard Tim say that as well. This study is done in a lot of workplaces. It's done in offices and warehouses and factories where people meet during lunch or after work, and they show this. Unbelievers can enjoy. I mean, it's very biblical. Absolutely, we're not apologizing that it's very much a God, Bible-focused study, but it's not preachy. It's not done in a way that can overwhelm or go above the person that would be interested in hearing and sharing together. And of course, all of us struggle with conflict and struggle in relationships, and that's true for the unbeliever as well. The unbeliever struggles, and quite frankly, I'll just say it frankly, they don't have an answer to how to solve their conflict other than maybe just getting mad or running away or whatever. And I think the Bible has an answer. I think God has an answer for us. And so the unbeliever really needs to be a part of this. And I think we can offer them that surefire way to how to deal with relationships. That third group that I think that should come to the study is for the seasoned believer. The person that knows the Lord for a long time, I think you're going to benefit greatly from this. Because all of us know that just because Jesus is in our lives, it doesn't mean that conflicts just magically go away, right? I mean, wouldn't that be so sweet if that was true? But it doesn't happen that way. It doesn't. And I would venture to say that most of you are dealing with some kind of conflict at a certain level. I don't want y'all to share right now. That would be embarrassing. But conflict at some kind of level is happening. Perhaps multi-relationships, many, many relationships, there's stuff going on and you're struggling. Wouldn't it be great to learn from Jesus himself how to fight fair? What would it be like? Do you ever think this way? I imagine this sometimes. What would it be like if Jesus himself came here and started sharing with us his truths about conflict resolution, about dealing with other people? Would that be the most amazing thing, to be able to just sit there and listen to the Lord speak to us? Oh, man. Well, in a way, that's going to happen. That's exactly what's going to happen. We are going to hear Jesus' words. We're going to experience his truths, and we're going to share these together. Just think how much peace would be in your lives if there was less conflict in the relationships around you. What would that look like? Some of you have no idea what that would even be like, because all you know is conflict. All you know is aggression or flight, running away and not dealing with anything, right? This is an exciting time for our church. This is an exciting time for us. And we're about to embark on this 8-week study of everyday peacemaking. It's going to introduce people to the power of the gospel of Christ. It's going to introduce people to experience how their relationships that are frayed and broken might be healed. And I'm excited to be a part of that. So the material is awesome. The DVD is powerful. You notice Tim Pollard there. In the past, we've done some stuff like with Andy Stanley. We did Rick Warren thing once many years ago. And those guys are all kind of dynamo, great, awesome, charismatic speakers, right? Tim Pollard is not Mr. Dynamo. He's good. He's very good. But he's not that, like, you know, that wow guy. But what it's the content, it's the material that's the draw here. It's these tools that we're going to get and things. And so I'm really think that's important. But there's another reason why we're doing this. This is what I really want you guys to think about. This has to do with every single one of you here this morning, and as we come to this Sunday, that's what we're calling the first Sunday of the new year. I believe God wants to use this study to help lots of new people come to Jesus, to help get people reconnected or perhaps connected for the very first time to grow spiritually. I think there's something special that God wants to do through this campaign, I'm going to call it. That sounds kind of militaristic. Don't mean it to be that way, but this campaign, this study, God wants to do something very special. It's a great chance for that. Imagine having 200 people in small group study over this 8 weeks that we do this. Maybe 20 or more special groups gathered in different places, in homes and coffee shops and here at the church or in an office, wherever. Can you imagine more than 20 groups meeting? We rarely have over 100 people. There's probably about 100 people here this morning. We rarely have over 100 here on Sunday mornings. What if 200 people were involved in this? Can you imagine something that powerful, that big? See, the only way, the only way that you and I can get on board with this is if we go out of our way to invite people to participate in this. It's the only way. Look with me on the screen or in your Bibles at Matthew 9, 36 through 38. Man, this just grabs me. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. He had compassion on this people. I think you can probably picture that, can't you? Jesus just really deeply caring for all the people in the community. And he says he had compassion because they were harassed and helpless. He saw them like sheep without a shepherd. I see that like they're just people that are just in survivor mode. Anybody relate to that? They're just going through the motions. Sheep without a shepherd kind of thing. And he had compassion on those people. That's the people he cared about. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. What's another way to say that? The harvest is plentiful. The fruit's ripe, or there's lots of demand. Like the harvest is plentiful, right? So it's going to be a bumper crop of wheat or corn or whatever, right? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers to do the harvest are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. That needs to be one of our main prayers for our church this year, that we're going to pray for harvesters. We're going to pray for workers who are willing to be more connected into our community, more connected into people's lives and helping out. Now, for some of this is a really important verse because we kind of bleed this. We live this 24/7, whether you're a paid person, paid staff, or whether you're a volunteer minister here. We bleed this. This is us. This is what we care about. We are Christ's workers, and we're always looking for opportunities to serve. Many of you looking for opportunities to minister. But others of you here, you see yourselves only as the recipient of our ministry. It's okay to nod your head. You know, or I hope you understand what I'm going to say. You're the one, you feel like you're the one that needs the help, right? It's okay. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. I'm not going to diss on you, all right? I'm just going to, some of you, that's how you feel. Like, oh, I could never be one of those, you know, important church people. I need to be the one that only receives. I'm the one who needs to be ministered to, not do the ministering, right? Okay? I understand what's going on there. And that's okay for a while. That's okay for a while. But after some time, if you don't get out of this mode and start thinking that, hey, wait a minute, maybe God wants me to somehow get more involved. Maybe God wants to use me in my frail, broken, you know, messed up life. Still, he could possibly use me to make a difference in this world. What would happen if you guys took advantage of this time and this campaign and you networked your friends, your family, your coworkers, perhaps your neighbors, get them all together and do this study. Invite them to be a part of a study that maybe met at your place or at a coffee house where you hosted that. Can you imagine that happening? And if you did this study with your coworkers, maybe after a shift or during a lunch break, something like that, can you imagine that? And now all of a sudden, you're one of the Lord's workers. And you're no longer just the recipient. Oh, Rob, I hear you talking. I hear you thinking, Rob, that is way too hard. You're asking me to do something that's way outside my comfort zone. I don't want to talk. I don't know anything, first of all, right? Am I speaking what you're saying, what you're thinking? I don't know enough to ever even consider hosting a group, right? I've heard all those excuses before, so sorry, it doesn't work. Here's the thing. The beauty of this study is that you don't have to know all the answers. In fact, you don't have to know hardly any. You don't have to have a beautiful home, praise the Lord. You don't have to have that. You don't have to be all grown up spiritually either. Or age-wise, you don't have to be. See, young people, 13, 14, 15-year-old people could host one of these groups. It's that easy. It's that easy to do. In fact, if we have enough young people that get excited about this on Wednesday nights when we do our youth ministry, it's possible we could have 6 or 7 small groups meeting of just junior high and high school age. What would you guys think about that back there around high schoolers? Is that possible? Could we do that? Yeah. And you don't have to have years and years of following Christ. Some of you, you might just give your lives to Jesus today. Some of you that are here, maybe today is the day you give your life to Christ. And you know what? You could host a group in 2 weeks. Some of us would be happy to help you if you don't feel comfortable. We'd be happy to team up with you and help if it's overwhelming. But it's just, it's not that hard to do this. It's not really that challenging. The problem is we just need people to get involved. We need people to get into the game and out of the bleachers. All right? Have I deflated every possible excuse? How about time? We haven't talked about time. Oh, we're busy. Oh, are we busy? This is an hour and a half a week. Excuse me. No homework. No book to read. Nothing. Just coming to the group. Is there an hour and a half in your day, in your schedule, where you could do it, whether it be early morning, afternoon, evening, 3 a.m., whatever your time schedule is? Some of you, I think you're up at 3 a.m. I know that. So it's kind of whatever, whenever it can happen. I don't know if any of you can get excited about being involved in something like this, to do something that might make a difference in someone's life that could help our church grow. And we're not trying to grow just for numbers. You guys know that, right? We're not here to try to be big. We're here just to make an impact and to help people's lives get changed, like many of you have been the recipient of. Time to share that. Time to give it away and let others be the blessing of that, all right? I don't know if any of you can get excited about seeing this like a time to refocus your life here at this new year, 2012. You haven't been able to figure out a New Year's resolution yet other than losing weight or something like that, yeah? Quit smoking, all those things we always want to do. Well, maybe this year God wants to use me to make a difference in somebody's life. Perhaps resolving everyday conflict could be the tool that you need to kick this and becomes more than a resolution, it becomes a reality in your life. A lot of us, including me, we need a new direction. We need to get out of the rut of defeat and fear. And committing to this study, this campaign of resolving everyday conflict, I think it might just be what God wants to use to help you. I really do. All of us are going to benefit from the teaching and the discussion. It's great biblical stuff. All of us need the saw sharpened. We need these tools when dealing with relationships. And I don't know if we can double the size of two church or not. I don't care. But what I feel strongly about is that this is a time of harvest for us. There are so many people in our community, in our lives, who are ready to hear the gospel, that are ready to hear that Jesus loves them and that he wants to heal them and take away the bondage. You know, now is the time. It's the time to reach out to them. And we want to help you be a part of that. God will bless our hard work. He's preparing people right now to respond to his gospel. I believe that. And we need you to own into this and get involved. So I'm going to open it up in a few minutes for some questions and thoughts, some discussion, because this is important for our church family, what we're talking about. I really want you to engage in this. But I want to really quickly recap the why. There's two things I haven't really talked about of why I think this is such good stuff. One is that concentrated focus thing. There's something powerful about that. Many of you that were here 2 years ago, you remember when we did the 5 ways you can grow your faith. Perhaps you don't remember tons of the content, but there was something very powerful that happened out of that. There were so many great groups that met, and it was a fantastic time, and there was such a momentum in our church family. That was a great thing. And that could happen again as we have this concentrated focus. We're all on the same page for 40 days. I love it. And it eliminates distractions. We concentrate on learning some kingdom principles. We concentrate on each other and on other people. The second thing that's good about this is there's this multiple reinforcement, which is a fancy way to say repetition. Multiple reinforcement. You guys, how many of you guys are over 40 and you don't quite remember things the way you used to? Yeah, I see you in the back. Thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah. You just look it. You're not really 40. But it's hard for us old farts to remember things, isn't it? It is hard for us to remember. We need the repetition. Or for some of you like me that maybe lost a few brain cells over the years, thanks to different practices that we won't talk about now. The repetition is hard. It's hard for us sometimes to remember. It's hard to learn. And you know what? We're going to be doing a lot of repetition during this 8 weeks. We're going to learn some of these principles in a very practical way. There's going to be the Sunday morning focus, a small group focus, right? In your workbooks that everyone gets, there's a chance on the back you can dig deeper if you have that time and the desire. You can dig deeper into things. I want to send out weekly emails for those who are involved and who do the email thing to encourage you during the week. We're also going to try to do a couple of memory verses, Bible verses, I know. But we're going to try that. We're going to see if we could maybe challenge each other to maybe learn a couple of important verses from the Word, because we need that. We need the Word to be in our heart. So that kind of stuff, that repetition, multiple reinforcement, is a good reason why we should do something like this. Let me open it up and just see if I can answer any questions or comments you might have of why or what we're trying to do here. Because I know for some of you, this is the first time to hear about this. So I'm going to just let this be very casual and formal and open it up for a question. Okay, are we still going to do our home groups? Maybe. Yeah, yes. It's always a little bit confusing, this thing. We have our existing small groups, our home groups, and we may very much keep those going. It's your group's decision what you guys want to do. But out of your home group might spawn 2 or 3 other groups, because some of you could host your own group that's apart from the home group. Am I making sense? And it depends on your availability of time, depends on your network of friends and people that might be interested. It may just be that you have your network of friends and people interested come to your home group's time, and that's fine if that's what you guys decide. But here's the deal. I'll talk about this a little bit more. a goal that we're going to set is I want more than 20 groups. Well, there's only 8 or 9 home groups. So we got a problem right there. So I want us to see more. But it's not going to replace home groups. It's not going to be it doesn't necessarily have to interfere or conflict with home groups. Hopefully the home groups will work together, and the home group leaders are going to help you guys all make that decision as you go, okay? Thank you. Who else had a question? I heard somebody else talking. Sorry? Cost. Well, for you, Robert, I have a special deal for you. No. If you recruit 10 other people, no, yeah, no. No, I'm so sorry I said that. Lord, I apologize for that. All right. There is only one cost for every person involved who wants the participation guide, which is this nice notebook. Really a good one. Really a good one. And it's $8. And that's it. And if there are people who can't afford the $8, give $4, give $5, and you know, we'll get the books to you. We'll start distributing these books next Sunday. And it's going to be up to you hosts to get these books to your people. And so if they come on Sunday morning, they can get them there. If they choose not to come here on Sunday morning, which is fine, you may get a book to them somehow. But we'll talk more with those who want to be hosts. But that's it, $8. The rest is free. Peacemaker Ministries is letting us actually copy the DVDs for free. I mean, that's a big expense that would be to buy a whole bunch of those DVDs. They're letting us do that for free. So things like that, it's really nice. So it's not too expensive. Jerry? Yeah. Participant Guide is what it's called. There's a little leader book for those who choose to host. Very tiny, just it complements. Yeah, Rachel? Well, thank you so much for that segue. Yeah, we will do. I do have a bunch of stuff here to give. So, yeah. Ron, right? Cool. Well, we can do a little. Really, can do a little service right here if you want. It only involves a little bloodletting. To become a member here. Yeah. That's good. So, no. Here's what I would say. For the brand new person, I would love for you to host, but maybe it would be advantageous for you to just team up with someone who's been around a little while, maybe a Sunday or two, and just to join forces. But if you have enough people in your network to get a group together, go for it. Yeah, absolutely. Why not? And but there's going to be a need to connect, and we're going to work with the hosts and stuff. You know, so it's not just like you're out doing your own maverick thing. We want to be connected, but absolutely you could do it. Brian. Are we going to have a training time for those who host? Yes. Yeah, that will happen on a couple of Sundays. The January 22nd, the Sunday we kick it off, we're going to have a meeting after church for all those who are going to be hosts, and we'll try to do it some other times as well. But, yeah, we will help out, and we'll do one-on-one help with all the hosts that need it. So, absolutely, yes. Good. Good questions. Love it. Well, yeah. There are prizes involved, so we'll have voting. Yeah, the most people, the best snacks. Yeah, yeah, the best daycare. Yeah, some groups may need the daycare thing, and it's going to be up to the groups to decide how to do that. And you know, if you need to help pay for a babysitter, you'll let us know. We'll help connect you to some babysitting, that kind of thing, or just let the kids ramble around. That's the way a lot of groups happen. So, good. Let me end. Just sharing the goal, and I want to hand out a couple things to you. I feel like I'm doing this sales presentation. I apologize for that. It's not. It's not. But I'm just trying to get you guys excited about what we're going to do. It's important. So here's some goals as I've just been praying. We talked with the leaders a little bit. You've heard it. At least 200 people involved is a goal that I would like to put out there. And at least 20 groups that would meet. And you know what? I want to set a goal for myself. I want to set a goal for us that's big enough that it actually, I need to depend on God to make it happen. You know what I'm talking about? It's fine to set a goal like, well, I just want to lose 5 pounds this year. You know, praise the Lord. You know, yeah, that's no big deal. But to set a goal like, man, we could see this place. We could see 200 people involved or more. And it would have to be a God thing. It's going to fail dramatically, drastically, if we don't get God's help in this. That's the kind of goal I would like to be a part of. I want a goal that kind of, it's that faith factor thing that I'd like to push us in and to help us learn a little bit about what that looks like as well, to build our faith up and to be challenged and excited about what God could do if we would have a goal for this many people. You know, 200 people, 20 groups, that's really not a ton of faith. I confess that my faith is really small. Maybe you guys can help us have an even bigger faith and greater goals. Man, because you know what? Here's the deal, is the key really is up to you. This is really all up to you. We don't have a PR department here at Two Rivers Church. We don't do newspaper ads or billboards, or we're not going to do any mailers. And that may bring in one or two people and cost us $10,000. That's silly. You guys are an awesome PR department. You guys are the publicity, because you guys have that network of friends and neighbors and family and all that might be interested. Just might be. Who knows? And maybe they've rejected you over and over as you've invited them to Alpha or to church or whatever. But maybe this time, as you show them, maybe God is getting them ready for something. Who knows? We're going to go around and we're going to ask our neighbors. We're going to go around. We meet our neighbors. We interact with them. We're going to invite them to be a part of a special group that just involves our neighborhood. Who knows? Who knows who's going to come? Yeah, question.
How many people would be good to have in your group? I mean,
if you can only get one person. Yeah. What's a good size for a group? I don't think there is a rule, but yeah, I can understand what you're saying. If there are only two people, it might be hard to be motivated or keep it going. And so there's a chance you could do that, or you can see what happens. But it doesn't matter the size. It really doesn't. It's based on what your environment allows you to have, right? Your living room or your kitchen or where you're going to set up your laptop. Because that's really all you need right there is your TV, a DVD player, or your laptop, and you can have a group. Bentley's would be happy to host a group for you. I'm sure they would. They'd love it. Every night of the week, every day. So the key really is up to you. Nobody, you know, people aren't going to come to our Sunday services or come to these groups based on an outside invitation. They're going to come because they trust you and they know you're going to provide for them. So you need to show me how wimpy that goal is of 220. And you guys start praying and I'm interested to talk with you during the week as you pray and see what do you think God is asking us to be a part of. And then just invest yourself in that. Let me just share one more verse with you and we'll go home. Let us hold tightly, Hebrews says. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm. And the author of Hebrews is talking about a number of great things about what our hope is. Our hope, and primarily it's just talking about our relationship with Jesus. Let's just grab hold and not let go of that hope that we affirm, because God can be trusted to keep his promise. Isn't that great to hear that again? We know it, we hear it, we know it in our head, but to receive that into your spirit, God can be trusted to keep his promise. And I believe that for you guys as well. Let's think of ways to motivate one another. I think the old King James says to spur each other on. That to me sounds kind of negative, you know, like I think a cowboy and his spurs on their boots and kicking the horse, and going, you know, or, you know, a little jab here and there. But I think what the author of Hebrews is trying to say is positively, let's think of ways we can motivate each other. Think of ways that we can get each other excited about what's happening around here. Because, man, some of us, we're just in ruts. We're just kind of going through the motions. Let's get each other excited. Let's motivate each other to acts of love and what else? Good works, right? Good works not because that's what gets us into heaven, but good works because that's what God has asked us to do as part of our ministry. And then it says, let us not neglect our meeting together. There's actually a verse in the Bible that says it's important that believers meet together and that we do this. And as some people are neglecting to do, but instead we need to encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Encourage one another to something special. I went to a church growing up. We had the old pews and the hymnals and stuff. And there was in the pew pocket, there was this little card. And it said, encouragement card. And it had this verse, encouraging one another, on top of that card. And we were supposed to write a little note to, you know, Joe Smith over there to thank you so much for who you are kind of thing. You know, we couldn't talk to people. We had to write notes. That's how it worked. But, you know, we need to be in that business of encouraging one another. And especially now, let's encourage each other to think big. Let's encourage each other to think God-sized dream and God-sized goal and to do something that's way above and beyond us. And I love it when it says, because the day of his return is drawing near. Who knows? Who knows, guys? 2012 might be the last year here on earth. Despite what the Mayans say, you know, I'm not going to trust them, but I'm not going to trust their calendar. I don't really care about that. But none of us know how long we're going to be here on earth, right? This might be the year that's our last year. Wouldn't it be a great blessing to the Lord and for us to be involved in something that mattered before we leave this earth? I want to motivate you and spur you on to think that kind of way this year. Think of how you can be involved, because 2012 is going to be a great year. Let me do a handout. Brian, you mind helping me with? I've got two things that I can give to people. One, these are the yellow pages that have, if you're interested in considering hosting a group, you can take one of these. You just pass them around there. These are two-sided. And then you need to get a hold of me somehow and let me know that you're interested in this. I don't actually have a sign-up for hosts. I need you to talk to me somehow, okay? Then I also have some postcard invitations. I have some here. There's some in the back table. I'm going to just let you guys kind of wing through these as well, because we'll make a lot more. And if you got someone that you want to invite to a group, whether you host it or not, you want to invite them to be a part of it, use these cards as a way to explain what we're going to do. Any other questions, comments? Thanks. There's a prayerful goal on the back. I have 18 slots for you guys to write names of people that you might want to invite to come. How's that for a God-sized goal? 18 people. I would love to hear how some of you needed more space. Can we stand together and let's pray? Lord, I know today was not a normal sermon, a normal part of just getting into your word and being challenged, but I hope everyone here understands and appreciates how important this is and how important you are. I hope they sense how much we love you and how much we need you to be the God of this ministry and the God of our lives. And Lord, thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for even just spurring Bonnie to be a part of this and to encourage us to do this. And it all starts like that, Lord, and you just are doing a powerful thing. And we just want to be faithful to what you have asked us to do for this Resolving Everyday Conflict campaign, Lord. Thank you for this material and for the opportunity to do something really big. Lord, I want to pray for each person here, and as they think of these things and they think about this new year and they think about what it means to be a child of God, I just pray that they would leave here encouraged and motivated to know you in a deeper way. And Lord, for anybody that's here this morning that has never surrendered to your lordship. They've never really asked forgiveness for all the dark sin and evil in their lives. They've never come to you as Savior. Maybe today, Lord, maybe they sense that you're speaking to them and that today would be a day they would give their lives to you. What a great birthday it would be to come to you and be born again. So I pray for that as well. Thank you so much for this amazing group of people. And Lord, use us this week to make a difference, because the church is not here right now in the building, right, Lord? The church is what happens during the week as we're involved, and we're being your ambassadors and your representatives. So I commit this week and the home groups and all the ministries to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Go be the church. Go talk to people. Pray about who you want to be a part of this. God bless you guys.